Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari pledges to recover billions of dollars looted from government coffers, but it won't be easy to break this old practice.
In the past, looted money had been brought back to the country and looted by some other people again. Buhari should ensure that kind of scenario doesn't happen anymore.
Zimbabwe's Information Minister Jonathan Moyo steps down as the power wrangles within the ruling ZANU-PF intensifies.
At the moment, Zimbabwe does not have a Minister of Women Affairs, which fuels speculation that the removal of Information Minister from Cabinet was to create space for the First Lady.
Good morning and welcome to Africa Link, live from DW Studios in Bonn, Germany. I'm Crispin Mwakideu.
Top story.
Tough times ahead. That's the message from Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari to his fellow countrymen. Buhari blamed some unnamed government officials for allegedly stealing billions of dollars from the treasury. He, however, vowed to recover the funds, as Sam Olukoya reports from Lagos.
Officials from the Transition Committee have revealed that the past administration not only left an empty treasury, but also left the country in debts that run into billions of dollars. Many ordinary Nigerians, like Blessing Atta, a school leaver, believe this is unacceptable, given that Nigeria is Africa's largest crude oil exporter. It could be one of the richest countries on the continent.
It is not a good thing that even though Nigeria is a rich country, there's no money to run the country because public officers, they are stealing all the monies. Buhari should try to get the money back.
There are obvious signs that Nigeria's finances are depleted. For several months now, civil servants in many of the country's 36 states have not received their salaries. Many ongoing projects, like road constructions, have now stopped because there is no money to pay contractors. Bolaji Oni, a fresh university graduate who is trying to start up a business, says the recovered funds should be diverted into such sectors like the state-owned telecommunications and energy companies to enable the smooth flow of business.
If the money is recovered, it can be channeled into so many things in Nigeria like power, oil and gas. They can channel the money into NITO. These three areas are the core areas in this country that is making business to be very strenuous for starters.
Mayowa Adebola, a social media activist, says the government should avoid a repeat of past mistakes where recovered stolen money ended up being stolen again as soon as it is returned from abroad.
In the past, looted money had been brought back to the country and looted by some other people again. Buhari should ensure that that kind of scenario doesn't happen anymore, where money was refunded and was looted by some other people.
It remains to be seen which mechanisms President Muhammadu Buhari will use to recover the stolen money.
Sam Olukoya reporting from Lagos. Recovering those stolen funds will be a mammoth task, as Mark Caldwell found out from Liz Donnelly. She's assistant head of the Africa program at Chatham House and an expert on Nigeria.
The big question here is how he can even start. He is going to have to go back and review deals that were made. He will have to go back and review how transactions were carried out and how this happened. This is extremely politically sensitive in Nigeria. It is very important, but it will have to be managed with care. And it is the case that Nigeria is in financial difficulty, that the state governors are in debt. But part of this is about the so-called missing billions from Nigeria's National Petroleum Corporation.
What shape or form are those investigations likely to take? We're assuming that he is serious about fighting corruption.
It's not clear yet what he will do with the tools at his disposal to progress such investigations. There is, of course, the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission, yet to be seen what he will do with that, if he will set up some kind of task force. He is in a difficult position. It will, at some point, he may seek to try and rise above the politics inherent in this, but it will, at some point, be perceived as political. He will need to tread very carefully. But certainly Nigeria is in need of money. Its fiscal revenues have dropped significantly with the drop in crude oil prices. It is certainly in need of greater transparency and efficiency and better performing government departments. But these are big steps to be taken. So he will need to proceed with caution, urgent and important as it is.
Buhari says he wants to restore sanity to the financial system. Presumably this means persuading people to obey the rules when handling government money and also staying on the right side of the law. Is that how you see it?
Yes, this will be very much about the rule of law and accountable governance. That will be very important, but I think it will be about smart decision making. There has been huge wastage in the past in Nigeria, so this is also about priorities, where you spend your money. There are critical reforms that need to be taken forward, very expensive reforms. A lot of this is about capital expenditure, for example, on infrastructure, power and so forth. So it is about the rule of law, it is about priorities and smart decision making.
Liz Donnelly from Chatham House in the UK.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
Out in the cold. Zimbabwe's Information Minister Jonathan Moyo has apparently lost his job. Local media are saying he had to go because he recently won a seat through a by-election. That victory, temporarily at least, disqualified him from keeping his ministerial post. President Robert Mugabe awarded him the job when he was not an elected member of parliament. For more on Moyo's predicament, Mark Caldwell has been speaking to Columbus Mavunga.
I think we can safely say at the moment Zimbabwe does not have information minister after he was asked to leave the cabinet on Tuesday.
What were the exact circumstances surrounding his departure?
We have not been told officially, but legally, when he was appointed minister in 2013, he was a non-MP. Now that he has been elected an MP, he has to be re-sworn in as a minister with a parliamentary seat in the event that President Mugabe still likes him as information minister.
Now, under the constitution, President Mugabe can appoint up to five ministers who are not elected MPs, and Jonathan Moyo was one of those appointments. There is speculation that Mugabe could be freeing up a job for his wife, Grace. Is that an unsubstantiated rumour, or rather more than that?
It is unsubstantiated rumour, but looking at it, I think it's more certain that the First Lady will become a minister because she has the ruling party's women's wing. And since independence in 1980, everyone who was heading that unit automatically becomes the Minister of Women Affairs. At the moment, Zimbabwe does not have a Minister of Women Affairs, which fuels speculation that the removal of information minister from cabinet was to create space for the First Lady.
To have become information minister in Zimbabwe, Jonathan Moyo must presumably have been a close ally and supporter of President Mugabe. Has he now fallen completely out of favour, or don't we know?
I think many people here say Jonathan Moyo has more than nine lives, and I think so far he's only lived two or three of them, if we are to follow that line. One can say he has lost favour, and the next breath, he's a darling of the president. You might recall that he was fired, I think, 5 years ago, and he bounced back, and he was the main behind the manifesto which led to Mr. Mugabe winning the 2013 election. So really, one cannot really see where he is at the moment. I think we leave it to the ground to see what comes out of it.
Columbus Mavunga in Harare. And now let's return to the home of Deutsche Welle right here in Bonn. The Global Media Forum has just come to an end. The Congress saw, among other things, 3 days of intense debates about the media in the digital age. It also included discussion about the role of the internet and social media in Africa. This report by Teresa Krininger has been adapted for Africa Link by Jen Ayeko.
Ebele Okobi works at the internet giant Facebook in London as head of public policy. Her responsibilities include business and entrepreneur initiatives in Africa. At the Global Media Forum, she was perhaps understandably keen to emphasize the opportunities the internet can offer Africa.
Personally, I don't think that the internet solves all problems, but I do think that there is incredible value to being connected. And I also think that it is a catastrophe when you have people who have incredibly unequal access to the internet. Most of you are familiar with statistics related to internet access. For me, one of the statistics that I found most alarming is the rate of growth of internet penetration. So in the past 12 months, if you look at Africa, the rate of internet penetration has only moved by 1.6%.
Cameroonian-born Rebecca Ononchong is the CEO of UpTech. She pointed to one possible reason for poor penetration, the cost of internet bandwidth.
I don't know if you guys realize this, but it's $1,200. That's the wholesale cost per meg of bandwidth in Cameroon. And so you can imagine, once you've distributed that 1 megabyte to a large population, if you get 128K, you're lucky.
But Ononchong believes that cost and lack of infrastructure is not the only problem. There is an unwillingness to embrace the new technology, a lack of political will to deploy it properly. Authoritarian governments have uncomfortable memories of the Arab Spring and the role that social media played in toppling ruling elites.
The government is so afraid of the internet that they don't want to make it widely available. They don't want to make it cheap.
It is not only African leaders who view the digital interconnected world with skepticism. A number of African participants at the Global Media Forum also expressed their doubts, though for different reasons. It is the activities of the tech giants which arouse suspicions.
I'll just take the example of Google. With the big media houses in Europe, the US, Reuters, AFP, AP, just to name the wire companies, Google have deals with them. But when they come in Africa, because they know the market is smaller, the actors are weaker, they come and impose their rules. So there are issues. And unfortunately, the African governments are not helping into leveraging that. Google does not pay taxes in Senegal. They're there, they're operating there, they're making money there. Facebook is in Senegal, operating there, making money there. You would not tell me you don't have an office and they do not pay taxes. These are issues that I think African governments and African operators and African citizens should take. Otherwise, what would happen is what we are having right now with another big company, Orange, in Senegal, for instance, making billions of dollars of benefits or millions of dollars of benefits in Senegal, but reinvesting them back in France.
Another participant at the Global Media Forum, this time round from Ghana, made a plea for more research into how Africans who are connected up to the internet actually use it. Only then will it be possible to say whether it is a tool for exploitation or a gateway to greater opportunities.
Jen Ayeko presented that report written by Teresa Krininger. And now it's time to rejoin the Crossroads Generation, a Learning by Ear production.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello there, and welcome to the 10th episode of Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation.
This is the fourth season of our ongoing drama about the challenges young Africans face. Last time, Sama revealed to Kadu why she has always been guarded about letting him visit her at home.
Your sister? I know you have brothers. You never told me you had a sister.
Well, I do. Her name is Noni.
Why didn't you tell me?
Because my sister is... she's different.
I don't understand. You won't let me see her because she's different. What do you mean?
This is one reason. The other is that Sama's parents insist on keeping Noni in chains. Nevertheless, last time, Sama agreed that Kadu could meet Noni. Meanwhile, Kadu's elder sister Mercy had a row with her husband Nikki and ran away to her friend Tina's. When Nikki came round to apologize and to take Mercy and their daughter Linda home again, she agreed to go with him, but on one condition.
We have to see Councillor Margaret again.
I'm not going.
Then we're not coming with you. It's as simple as that, Nikki.
Okay, fine. I'll go and see Councillor Margaret with you.
Good. We already have an appointment.
Margaret has given Mercy and Nikki support and advice in the past to help them come to terms with Nikki's HIV infection. Today, though, Nikki and Mercy have a very particular topic they want to discuss with the counselor. Let's find out what it is in today's episode. Is it possible? Mercy and Nikki are ready at the counselor's office where they hope they'll get some answers.
Hi, Nikki. Hi, Mercy. Sorry to keep you waiting. I had to see another couple first. Come in. Sit down.
Thanks, Madam Margaret.
Come on, Mercy. I told you last time. Just call me Margaret.
Had to teach an old dog new tricks.
Okay. Let's get down to business. Nikki, Mercy tells me you have some issues you two would like to discuss.
Yeah. Well, no, not really.
How are things at home? Any challenges?
Nothing any normal couple couldn't handle.
Except you're not a normal couple.
What are you implying?
Come on, Nikki. All of us in this room know that you and I are not a normal couple. We're in a very particular situation. That means we can't do things normal couples do.
You see now, Margaret? This is what I have to deal with. I keep being reminded that I'm HIV positive. And then when I complain, I somehow end up as the bad guy.
Oh, great. Are we going to make this an argument? You know, I...
Sorry, if I may ask. What are these things that normal couples, to use your words, do, but you can't, Mercy?
A couple of days ago, my husband here wakes up in the middle of the night and asks me to have sex with him without protection.
Really?
Yes, ask him.
Nikki, is this true?
I didn't...
Stop lying, Nikki. Why are you lying?
Yes, I did ask her to. But I...
Go on, Nikki. Why did you want to have unprotected sex knowing your condition?
Madam, I want a child.
Oh.
We're here. Promise you won't freak out, Kadu.
Why would I freak out, Sama? Don't worry.
Okay, let me open the door. Oh my God, Noni!
What? What is that? What's happening to her?
Quick! Help me pull the bed away before she hits her head. Kadu, what are you doing? Help me, please. Pass me that spoon. I need to put it in her mouth.
I have to go. Banda and I have to catch the bus to town to see our sister Mercy. Bye.
Wait, Kadu! Where are you going? You promised me you wouldn't freak out. Kadu! Oh, great.
I know it's unreasonable, but I really want a child.
But why, Nikki? I thought you'd adopted Linda.
You ask him, Margaret. We knew what we were getting ourselves into when we decided to get married. And he wanted to adopt Linda. I didn't make him do it.
So why do you want another child, Nikki? Is Linda not enough for you?
For the sake of continuity. So that when I die...
Oh, Nikki.
So that when I die, my name, my own child, can carry on my legacy.
Shh, Nikki.
I see. But have you thought about the consequences of having unprotected sex with an uninfected person?
I know. I do know. I'm just too confused right now.
And Mercy, how do you feel about having a child with Nikki?
There's nothing I'd like better. And he knows it. But we know that it's just not possible. I love my husband. I really do. But what if both of us get the virus? Then what?
What if I told you that under certain conditions, it is possible to have a child with an infected person and remain uninfected?
It is?
Really? Someone told me that, but I didn't believe them.
Well, it is. Listen, if you want, I could set up a meeting with a doctor friend of mine. and you could discuss options with her. But in the meantime, please continue to use condoms whenever you have sex, okay?
Okay. Yeah. We have to go now. Thank you for seeing us. I feel better now.
Oh, one other thing. There's a support group for people affected by HIV that I would recommend you both join. It's called the Living Positive Support Group, and it's been very helpful to a lot of couples I know. They meet twice a week in this very building. I can give them a call if you want.
Oh, please do. If it might help us deal with the situation, it's exactly what we need.
My sister, Noni, please don't do this. Please stop. You're scaring me. Please, Noni, please calm down. This fit has gone on too long. Noni, please. Somebody help me. Help me.
Hello? What's happening in there? Do you need help?
Yes, please help me. My sister's having a fit and it won't stop. It won't.
Can you open the door?
Just push it. It's open.
Oh, no. Quick, get that spoon out of her mouth. Did you put it there?
Yes. Dad says it stops her from swelling her tongue.
No, that's not true. Take it out. Pass me that pillow to rest her head on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. The fit has stopped.
By the way, Manita, what's your name? Where are your parents?
I'm Summer. My parents went to town to look for work, and my brothers come home late from school.
And why is the guy chained to the bed?
Dad says my sister was bewitched.
No, darling. She suffers from an illness called epilepsy.
So she's not bewitched then? Maybe, does that mean that she can get some help from a doctor?
Yes. You can get medicine to treat it, and there are other kinds of therapy that would help her too. But of course she needs to see a doctor first.
My dad says that he chains her to the bed for her own safety while we are away.
But that's wrong. See how the chains hurt her legs, especially when she's convulsing.
I've told him many times, but he won't listen.
Next time this happens, please don't put anything in her mouth, okay?
Okay.
What's her name?
Noni.
Does she go to school?
No.
What time do her parents get home? I'd like to talk to them.
I don't know, but you can wait here if you want. Thank you so much, Anita.
Ooh, what a piece of luck that Anita was around. Sounds like there might actually be a solution to Noni's problems. What will Noni's father Paolo say when Anita talks to him? There are dark clouds looming, and not just because it's been raining so much lately. Someone's about to find out about Nikki's well-kept secret. Join us next time to hear what's going on. In the meantime, don't forget to visit our website dw.de/LBE or look us up on Facebook. Bye-bye.
And if you wish to find out what happens next, then tune in to Africa Link on Monday for the next installment of Crossroads Generation.
Listen to Africa Link whenever you want. Sign up for our podcast at dw.com/Africa Link Podcast.
And now, before we go, a reminder of our main stories. Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari has vowed to recover billions of dollars stolen from Nigeria's treasury. Zimbabwe has been left without an information minister after Jonathan Moyo was asked to step down. And DW's Global Media Forum has wrapped up in Bonn. Do let us know what you think of this program by sending us an SMS to country code 491609575910. An email to feedback.africa@dw.com or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. Thank you for listening and more news on the continent at dw.com/Africa. I'm Crispin Mwakideu. Enjoy your day.